الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة، ويا باب نجاة الأمة، ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Revitalize your hearts with a loud salawat for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. The greatest threat that humanity faces in modern times is not the issue of the global warming or a nuclear threat or a terrorist attack. It's an attack on our family values, an attack that ruins our relationships with our partners, with our parents, with our children, with our extended family members. And the symptoms and the vanguards of this attack are appearing. You can see them around you. You can see the disintegration of the families. You can see the decline of family values in the societies. You can see the skyrocketing rate of divorce in the United States of America. America remains plagued by the divorce epidemic. The rate of divorce in this state, Michigan, do you know the rate of divorce in Michigan? Anyone read the newspapers here? Anyone has a computer at home? 56% in this state. In my golden state, California, it's much higher. It ranges something between 69% to 83%. 83%. This is the golden state. This is the fifth largest economy in the world. As we move in technology, we move forward in the progress in technology and science and modernity, the moral values, they go down. They plummet down. In fact, this month, the month of January, if you read the papers, they tell you that divorce hikes reaches the top during the month of January. You know why? Because it is one of the New Year resolutions, you know. Good resolutions. They decide to separate and go to court and file for divorce. Because during December they are drinking, enjoying, dancing and drinking. They have no time to go to the court. So these are the symptoms of this heinous, this very dangerous attack on our values. Usually when there is a natural disaster in a country, like hurricane, flood, wildfires, and so on and so forth, the government prepares the citizens, take the necessary measures to protect its own citizens. Now when we have this attack, this type of attack on the families, what sort of measures should we take to shield and save and protect our families from this heinous attack, from this man-made attack on our values? When man wreaks havoc on the stability and the integrity of the family, are we prepared for it? What do we do? What are we doing to stop this decline of family values in our communities? When I speak about the rate of divorce, I don't mean only the American people. It's the same with the Lebanese American, Iraqi Americans, Iranian Americans, Muslim Americans. The rate is hiking, and don't be surprised. What are we doing to defend and shield our families? What is the responsibility here? During these nights, these holy nights, and these sacred sessions, sessions that are attributed to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, we came here to stand for our families, for our values, to do something positive to protect your own family at least. We have to see the change in our families, the change of direction to be positive during these nights. One of the important substructures of Imam Hussein's revival and movement and revolution is to protect family values, is to cement and strengthen the institution of marriage and family. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says in his speech, إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي. My only intention is to have a genuine, universal, and versatile reforms, comprehensive reforms. Imam Hussein was not only aiming for political and economic reforms in his community. One of his important objectives were social reforms, reforms in the family, because unfortunately it was the corruption in the family who sent hundreds of fighters to Karbala to fight Imam Hussein. This is a manifestation of the corruption in the Muslim family in Iraq and elsewhere at that time. So Imam Hussein came to reform, to rectify the situation. The family at that time did not represent Islam. Imam said, I take it upon myself to create, to reshuffle the ideals of the family in my community. To reshuffle the brains and the mentalities and the behavior of the men and women, the fathers and mothers, so when they send their kids to the war, they know why they are sending them. They don't send them to any war, to any aggression. They only send them to stand for truth and justice. This is why the co-founder of Ashura is a lady called Zainab. The family of Imam Hussein were the co-founders of the day of Ashura. And if I get a chance to speak about her in the upcoming nights, I will tell you that without the contribution of this great lady, Zainab alayhi salam, the revolution of Imam Hussein would have been buried there. It would have not been reaching us today. It was Zainab's bravery. It was Zainab who continued the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So Imam Hussein came to revive the family. And today, tonight, this night is traditionally attributed to a young man, the nephew of Imam Hussein. You know what his name? His name is Al-Qasim ibn al-Hassan alayhim as-salam. A man of only 13 or probably 14 years old. A teenager in the beginning of his life. We have this night dedicated for him worldwide. Wherever you go tonight, the speakers, the preachers, the scholars, they mention the virtues of this man. And they mention the importance of the Islamic family, how to raise your kids. And I'm going to speak about teenagers tomorrow, inshallah. On the 9th, the eve of the 9th, inshallah ta'ala. My topic tonight revolves around only one theme, one unified theme. How to bring peace to your home. How to protect your family. How to keep your family tension-free. How to keep your house tension-free. This is the problem that we all suffer from. Those who came to this country 50 years ago, and those who arrive tomorrow. Arabs and non-Arabs, Muslims and non-Muslims. We have one central problem today in America and elsewhere, not only America. Even if you go back home, family issues are the prime concern today in all the human societies. Therefore, we have to dedicate some time to understand them. How do we approach them? When you look at the Holy Quran and study the Holy Quran and probably other scriptures too, you will find that the human relations are what matter most in the Quran. Human relations. And there are many stories in the Quran that Allah says, listen, I don't care about the structure. When Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba, he was so proud. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. He finished, he puts the final touch on the Kaaba, he stands aside, but he did not have a digital camera with him. So he was looking at the Kaaba and he was so proud. Allah sent an urgent message to him, Ya Ibrahim, you are proud because you built a structure for me? I want you to build hearts. I want you to resurrect minds. If you can resurrect the mind of an individual, then you deserve to be happy. This is just a structure here, physical structure. So they came to build the societies, not infrastructures, not material infrastructures, the human infrastructures. So what matters most, human relationships. But unfortunately, human relationships today do not occupy an important position in our life. They are not a priority for us. What is the priority today? Business. Money making. This is the first priority in our life. And because business is a priority, you go to the families and you see the breakdown in the families. There are many people who achieved good things when it came to the corporate world. But if you go to their homes, their families are disintegrated. Kids are not at home. The wife has been divorced. He has no normal human life. He made a fortune outside the house. But inside the house, he could not help his family together. He could not create harmony at home. This is a big failure. My dear brother and sister, no amount of success in your career would compensate or make up for the failure at home. Even if you make a big fortune outside, it will not help you if you lose your family. Because your kids, they want a role model at home. They want a father figure. Not only money. Don't think your kids only need money. We think sometimes before the birth of the baby, we open a saving account for him or her. We say this is for the college tuition. But are we also concerned, equally concerned, about how we're going to deal with this baby? with this young man and woman in our life? Are we prepared for that? Or we only think about money? We think money is the big solution, the magical solution. Money alone does not work. You need to put your intention, your attention, your heart there in your family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Ibrahim, Ya Ibrahim, I want you to be the role model for your kids. Not the next door neighbor, not an outsider, not a stranger, not a private teacher. I want you. وَأْمُرْ أَحْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ I want you. I want you to take the initiative and go after your kids and raise your kids and nurture your kids. Don't bring a babysitter. I say to my respected sisters all the time, I know you are talented, I know you are a professional, I know you can solve world problems today. I acknowledge this and I believe in this. But first, try to solve the problems at your house. If you have kids at your home, don't abandon them to the babysitter because you are making $5,000 or $6,000 or $10,000 outside. Don't serve the stranger at the expense of the loved ones at home. Don't do this. This is a big mistake. When your kids, they are adults, they don't need you anymore, be free. But while you still have kids who are in need for your love and attention, don't abandon them. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ أَجْرًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى Allah says about you that when you stand before me on the day of judgment, I am not going only to ask about you, I'm going to ask about your family members. Oh, أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ Not only protect yourself, protect your family members and your kids too. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَعَنَ اللَّهِ مَنْ يُضَيَّعْ مَنْ يَعُولْ May the curse of God be upon the father who does not live up to his responsibilities at home. He is reckless. He is careless about his kids. He has no feeling, no compassion. He thinks his kids only need food. He does not think in terms of the real food, which is nurturance, which is direction and guidance. They seek direction from you. You have to be the role model. They are going to follow you. And you have more responsibility as a father. You know why? Number one, because you are the one who establishes the family. You are the one who proposes. You are the one who go and ask for people's daughter to marry. And you begin the family. Fortunately or unfortunately, they don't propose to us. Females don't come to us to propose. We have to go to them. So the inception of the family is with you. This is one responsibility. Second, you are the one who determines, of course, by the plan of God and design of God, who determine the gender of your kids. You all know that in the reproduction process, the female offers two chromosomes, X and X, two X's. But the male kindly offer what? An X and Y. So if the male donates an X chromosome, the gender of the baby will be what? A girl. You people here, the honorable people here. And if he donates a Y chromosome, the gender will be male or boys. But remember, the husband determines the gender, the wife determines what? The quality and the traits. And this is scientifically proven. That the mother determines the traits, the behavior of the baby, follows the mother. So both of them play a very vital and important and a critical role in the family. You cannot downplay any one of them. Both of them are important. When I speak about father being present in the family, I don't mean the mother has no role. Both of them are a blessing. Both of them are important. Therefore, when you look into the Quran, you will find some Quranic and even biblical rules. I studied the Bible, and I compare the Quran to the Bible, I find striking similarities, astonishing similarities. Neither Muslims nor Christians know how much they have in common, unfortunately. Because when we have a crazy people who speak about crusade and invasion and war against this country and that country, they would leave no room for people to reflect on the commonalities. We only think that we are fighting all the time. Since God created us, we've been fighting among ourselves. But we have lots of commonalities. And I wish that I could have one more lecture in this community about religious tolerance and about the importance of interfaith work in America. We are here by design. Allah brought us to this country for a reason. You are not here by accident. It has been a plan for you. It has been preordained on you to come here. So you have a role in this country. You are not sitting in Beirut or the south of Lebanon or south of Iraq or south of Iran. You are here in America. And this is an opportunity for us to work hard, to reach out to our neighbors, as I mentioned two nights ago. To go and tell them about our religion, show them the good things, the positive things about our religion. I have many stories, but I don't want to sidetrack. I want to stay on the track and finish the subject with family values tonight. There are golden rules in the Quran. I chose a few of them tonight. One of the most important realities in this life is that we are a human being. We are not angels. And thus, if we are not angels, we are not perfect. We are not perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us perfect. But Allah, however, wants us to strive for moral perfection. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Allah says, when it comes to your physical side, I did the best job. I create you to you in the perfect shape. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. But when it came to the spiritual side, I want you to reach that perfection. It would have been very easy for you to create your perfect person from day one. But then, you will do nothing. You deserve no credit. I want you to deserve the credit. I want you to struggle for perfection. And therefore, He created us, and He subjected this life for us to walk on the path of perfection. And ultimately, some of us are going to achieve moral and spiritual perfection in this life. So if we are not perfect, when you marry someone, do not treat that person as a perfect person. This is an illusion. This is a cause of a future disappointment. Future disappointment and frustration in your life. Don't treat them as being perfect. Nobody is perfect. Try to teach yourself more appreciation and more understanding for your partner in this life. Sometimes I have some young people who come to me before marriage, before wedding. They tell me, Sayyid Alhamdulillah, praise to God. Finally, I was able to find and discover the most perfect on earth, Alhamdulillah, the most perfect man on earth. I say, good for you, Alhamdulillah. Good for you. I don't want to disappoint her. She's still young, because she's deep, you know, deeply in emotions and romance. And when we are in romance, you can't see. Your eyes are covered. You can't see. It's like when you have fog here, you can't see around you. This is what romance does in your life. The picture is very blurry, because your senses are somewhere else. Your senses are focused only on one thing in life, your partner. So you perceive this partner as an angel, as someone who's perfect and sinless and immaculate. But only a few months after that, so they come to the Islamic center and they, you know, solemnize their wedding. And then only a few months after that, the same person comes to me and says, "Sayyid, now I discovered he's a devil. My partner is a devil. My partner is an evil, the worst person on earth." Sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad wa Muhammad. That he's neither angel nor devil. But unfortunately, it was the wrong emotional perception of you that portrayed him in the first time as an angel and the second time as a devil. We don't have an angel or devil. We are a human being. So don't expect your partner to be a perfect person. Don't even expect your son or your daughter to be perfect. This is number one rules in the Quran. Two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with unique talents. Each and every person is unique in his or her emotional, intellectual, spiritual capacity. People are different. People have different personalities. People have different sentiments. People have different moods. People have different mental structure in life. Don't expect people to follow you. Don't expect people to imitate you. Don't expect people to agree with you all the time. Disagreement in the family is something very natural. Very natural. The ideal family in Islam is not the family that it does not disagree with each other. The ideal family in Islam is the family that when they disagree, they respect one another. When they disagree among themselves, they do not turn the home into a boxing arena. They don't fight. They respect each other's sentiments. This is the ideal family. And therefore, be very careful with your partner. Don't assume that since she is my partner, he is my partner, he has to agree with me in everything I say. Give them a chance to express themselves. They have an opinion. Let's teach ourselves to respect the difference of opinion in the family. I know a young lady who fled her family. She went somewhere else. Hundreds of miles elsewhere. Her mother came to me and I had a chance to speak with her. "Why you fled the family?" She said, "Because of my father. Unfortunately, my father never gave me the chance to express myself. He never gives me the chance to listen to me. He always forced his opinion on us at home. He treats us like soldiers in a military barracks, in a military camp. He has a military mentality. He says, 'Listen, when I tell you something, do it, and then ask me.' This is a military style. This is not a family style. I know the kids have to respect their parents. Yes. Kids, you have to be dutiful to your parents. But parents, remember, your kids are a human being. Your kids have ideas and aspirations and goals. Give them the opportunity to speak their mind. Consult with your kids. Do not force them to do something that they don't understand. The best father and the best mother is not the one who forces their kids to play. The best father and mother in Islam are the ones that then teach them the meaning of a prayer, and then they make them a play by their own selves. So when you send your daughter somewhere else, she does not stop praying. another example that took place in my city. A mother called me. She said, I raised my daughter in an Islamic school since kindergarten until high school. We spent so much money on her. We restricted ourselves in terms of living to afford my daughter an Islamic education. And she was observing the hijab. The moment she moved out of my neighborhood and she went to a university, the first thing she did, she threw the hijab out. I said to her, why do you do this? She said, because the time I was with you wearing the hijab, I didn't mean to wear the hijab. I was too afraid of my father to punish me. Today I have a freedom. Today my father is not with me. I am 18 years old. I'm an adult. My father cannot force me to do something I don't understand. I said to her, listen, I think we have to punish the father, not your daughter. Because over 18 years, you did not get the chance to speak in a nice way, to tell your daughter the value of hijab, the significance of hijab. So this is number two. Number three, golden rules of marriage in the Quran. Be realistic with your partner. Do not have unrealistic expectations. We are not living in a utopian state, utopian city. We are human beings. We are not angels. If you try to have unrealistic expectations, you're going to live the rest of your life in disappointment. So you have to understand that your partner could be different from you. You have to understand that you should not conform your partner with yourself. Maybe you are wrong and she's right. So don't think that you are always right. What you have to do has to happen at home. What is right has to happen. Sometimes you are right, sometimes she's right. So don't have wrong expectations and realistic expectations. Be a normal human being with your family at home. It is very selfish to say to your partner that the only time I love you is when you listen to me, when you obey me. This is very selfish. This is very bad. This is not healthy. This is very unrealistic and unreasonable in the family. Don't expect them to listen to you all the time. The only time I become happy is when you do things the way I want. This is very arrogant. Very arrogant. The person who always overexpects from his partner would never be satisfied in his or her life. The person who always criticizes others, a person that criticizes his community members, he chides them, he puts them down. One day he'll find himself living by himself alone, nobody around him. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam, he says, "Man kathura 'atabuhu qalla asdiqa'uh." If you keep criticizing people, why do you do this? Why do you do that? No, this is not my flavor, this is not my taste, this is not my way. One day you're going to find yourself lonely. If you are an overly sensitive person, very touchy, overly sensitive, one day you will find yourself, you have the biggest mansion, you are the richest person, but you have no family around you. They run away from you. Because you keep putting them down. People don't want someone to put them down. People would not welcome a person who always has a black glasses on his eyes. Look things with a black perception, with a dark perception, with a gloomy perception. You have to respect people. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, رب عزيز أذله خلقه وذليل أعزه خلقه. Sometimes a man who has an honor, who has a family, who has a fortune, who has a big community, big business, but unfortunately has a little brain, small brain. He has just a small capacity. He does not have tolerance. He does not have patience. He keeps chiding people. This person is going to live alone. This person is not going to be greeted by anyone. People avoid him. When he walks in the street, in the market, people avoid him. And sometimes someone comes from nowhere. He has no family, no bank account. He has no house. But he has akhlaq and manners. People cherish him. People love him. People would be ready to sacrifice their time and their life for him because he is a noble person. See? This is the real asset, akhlaq. So try to incorporate akhlaq first at home with your family. That was the third rule. The fourth rule, the golden rules of marriage in the Quran. Quran tells us that the institution of marriage is the foundation of commitment, is the foundation of respect, is the foundation of love and appreciation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُمْ. Love always covers for our mistakes. When you love someone, you try to cover his or her mistakes. This is the meaning of هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ. Because what is the meaning of libas, garment? Libas adorns you, makes you attractive, and also covers for your faults. You cover yourself with the garment. Allah says the institution of marriage, and because it is based on love, it is going to cover for you. Love makes allowances for people's weaknesses. This is the purpose of love. When you love someone, you try not to project their weaknesses. You always speak about the bright side in them. The Arab poet has a very beautiful piece of poetry. وَعَيْنُ الرِّضَى عَنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَلِيلَةٍ وَلَكِنَّ عَيْنَ السُّخْطِ تُبْدِي الْمَسَاوِيَ. When you love someone, you don't look at his dark side. You always focus, you always preach about the beautiful side of this person. But once you hate someone, even if he's a messenger of God, you're going always to focus on his or her faults and mistakes. So in this institution of love, we have to cover for each other. Allah says, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُمْ. When you see a fault, do not point at this fault. Don't be a fault finder. Be a path finder in your family. Try to cover for that mistake. Try to correct it in a nice way. Let's give the people the benefit of doubt. When you see something wrong from a friend, a mistake, don't rush to him and yell at him and put him down. This is very wrong. He's not going to give up. Go to that person and tell him, listen, I value you. You are so close to my heart. You are like me. In fact, Allah says in the Quran, the verse that I started the lecture with, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. In Islam, we believe marriage is the dichotomy. The dichotomy of one cell into two individuals. One is called the husband, the other is called the wife. Dichotomy of the cell. The same cell, the same origin. خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. This is how the marriage is supposed to be. You come from one origin. So don't criticize yourself. When you criticize your partner, you are criticizing your own self. You are destroying your own self. Be careful. Be merciful to yourself. Let's give the benefit of doubt to people around us. Let's not keep any record of hard feeling about any friend or any family member. This was the trait of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كَانَ يَعْفُو عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَ. The Prophet never kept a record of wrongdoing of any person in his archive, in his file. He never. Whenever somebody does bad to him, he would erase it immediately. He would not even go home and think about it. door to cram unforgiveness, bitterness, hard feeling in your heart. The heart, as I said 2 nights ago, is the seat of affection and love. Keep it pure. Keep it cleansed. Keep envy, jealousy, hatred, arrogance out of your heart. Try to maintain a nice heart. If you want to live healthy, begin with your heart. Begin with your heart. Try to maintain it in the best manner. Rasulullah would immediately forgive. When a man, a silly man in the market of Kufa, stoned Amir al-Mu'mineen, threw a stone on Ali ibn Abi Talib, not knowing his position, Imam Ali went to the masjid. People came to him, they said, "Did you recognize this man?" He said, "No, he's just a man, lay person." They said, "He's the commander of this state. He's Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's the Khalifa." So the man rushed after him to apologize. Not Ali ibn Abi Talib, Malik al-Ashtar, the disciple of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Disciple of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the servant of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He rushed to the masjid. The man went to him. He said, "Please, sorry, forgive me. I did not know you are the top commander of Ali ibn Abi Talib. You are a very prominent, influential military leader." He said, "Wallah, ma dakhaltu al-masjid hatta ad'ullaha laka liyaghfira lak." I was not intending to come to the mosque. I came to the mosque just to seek forgiveness for you. I don't cram it in my heart. A bitter root produces bitter fruit. Try to clear your heart. That's the fourth golden rule of marriage. If we continue or we stop here, what do you think? One more. Sometimes when we have tension in the family, we forget about the past, we forget about the sweetie days, we forget about the honeymoon. All we focus at is the bitterness, is the conflict, and this is wrong. At the time of tension, immediately border your brain to go back to the old nice days when you went to the honeymoon, when you were loving each other, when he used to call you, "You are my Cinderella, you are my beauty queen," when you used to call him, "You are my Superman, you are my Buzz Lightyear, you are my SpongeBob," for instance. Remember these good days. Remember them. Once you remember them, you remember you had very good time. You remember that you produced so many nice kids. And marriage has ups and downs. Marriage has some good days and bad days. Remember the good days. She came to me one day and she started a barrage of insult and accusation on her husband. "He's thoughtless, he's merciless, he does not care about me, he's rude, he's bad, he's this, he's that." I said to her, stop. Remember, let me ask you, remember the moments that he embraced you and he kissed you and he took you out and he took you to the restaurant. Remember the honeymoon. Remember the day he gave you. Remember the days that he sacrificed for you. Remember these days too. It's not an absolute evil. Let's be merciful about each other. Let's be fair about each other. And the last golden rule in the Quran about marriage. The reason why we get married is with a different person is to learn from that different person. Marriage is an institution of learning and education. We all learn. We are all students. The husband, the wife, the kids are all students. We learn. We evolve. We develop our characters and our traits within the institution of marriage. Therefore, when you marry a different person, you both have strengths and weaknesses. Your strengths are going to make up for your partner's weaknesses, and his or her strengths are going to make up for your weaknesses. You are complementing one another. And this is exactly what the Quran says. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. تَسْكُنُوا, you complement one another. In the marriage, we complete one another. We don't compete with one another. Marriage is not a race field. Marriage is a learning field. And always remember, the two of you together are much more stronger than being alone by yourself. Remember the price you pay when you are alone by yourself. Allah says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Allah designed this life, designed you and me to be with a partner. If you want to live your life by yourself, maybe you would enjoy it temporarily, but you're going to pay a bigger price in the future. Bigger price. من أراد أن يلقى الله طاهرا مطهرا فليلقه بزوجه. If you want to stand before God, purified, cleansed, on the day of judgment, you have to have a partner. You have to have a partner. So you have to pay the price if you don't have a partner. This is why marriage is so paramount in Islam. If you get the opportunity to get married, don't delay it. Don't even delay it one day. If you are ready for it today, tonight, go for it tonight. Do not delay that tomorrow. It's the best shield, moral shield, spiritual shield. Therefore, some people, when they are asked why you are not married, he tells you, say it, I could not find a compatible partner. What do you mean a compatible partner? Compatibility is not found, is not created before wedding. You would never be able to find two people who are absolutely compatible with each other before wedding, before marriage. Compatibility is always created and painstakingly manufactured during marriage, not before marriage. Not before marriage. It's just created by you both during marriage. This is how you create compatibility and harmony in your life. Through ups and downs, through acts of forgiveness, through acts of sacrifice, through acts of helping one another, standing for one another. This is how you develop compatibility in marriage. If you want to wait until one person comes to you and you find 100% match, you would never be able to reach that day. I tell you who will come and proposes to you. Israel alayhi salam, at the age of 90. You would remain with no partner, waiting for someone who to be very compatible until Israel comes and says, this is time to go. We create compatibility through your patience, through your akhlaq. Imams were body, Imams alayhim salam were people builders. An imam, infallible imam, he will go and marry a slave. She used to be slave in the market. Imam will buy her, marry her, creates her and manufactures her and make her an honorable lady, an honorable mother. You know who is the imam of the last, who is the mother of the last imam, and Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam, do you know? She was a slave. She was a slave woman. But Imam al-Hasan al-Askari, he created her. He made it her a perfected lady. Through his patience, through your tolerance, your understanding. If you don't use patience at home, where are you going to use it? Outside? The house is the first arena to exercise your patience. And inshallah, I'm going to speak about this subject further tomorrow, inshallah, when we speak about kids and how we have to raise our kids, in what manner. But last word before I conclude. Do not withhold the word of praise to your partner. One of the important elements that cements the marital relationship is when you compliment and praise your partner at home. Don't say, we've been married 30 years, say it. I can't tell her, honey, sweetie anymore. She used to be sweetie 50 years ago. She is always sweetie. And if she's becoming mother and a grandmother, she's becoming more sweet and more honorable and more valuable. The hadith says, قول الرجل للمرأة أحبك لا يذهب من قلبها. This is a psychological fact. This is a psychological fact. If a man says to his wife, I love you, that word is going to anchor inside her heart. It would never go away. That word is going to have an enormous, powerful effect on her. It's going to resurrect her, revive her. You know the reason why most of the women in America are depressed? Women, unfortunately, are more depressed than men, according to many studies and surveys. Because they lack the word of appreciation from their partners. She has a beautiful house, she has a fancy car, sometimes she goes and works outside, sometimes she has kids, but she lacks a word of compliment, appreciation from her own partner who lives in the same house with her. We are desperately in need of a word of praise. And you are not going to lose anything. You are going to gain. If your wife is strong, you are going to be strong. Happiness and sadness reflect on both. Let me now shift to a different arena, to a different land, the land of Karbala. Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan alayhi salam is the nephew of Imam Hussein. Traditionally, during his night, we speak about the institution of marriage and family. Because at his age, he was supposed to get married. Although the story of his marriage is unsubstantiated. But this is how people prepare their kids at the age of 15, 16, 14. He had a future ahead of him. But he decided to come to Karbala. He was orphaned at the age of 4. His father, the noble father Imam Hassan alayhi salam, was poisoned by the order of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So he went into the custody of his uncle, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, at the age of 4, very tender age. He was raised and nurtured by his uncle al-Hussein. So he developed a very strong attachment to his uncle al-Hussein alayhi salam. And Imam Hussein adored him, he loved him, he treated him like a son, even more than his own sons. Whenever Imam Hussein alayhi salam longed and craved to see the image of his older brother Hassan alayhi salam, he would call Al-Qasim. He resembled his father Al-Hassan. He would summon him, he would say, nephew, son, I want to remember my brother. I want to see your face. You are the best reminder of my older brother, Al-Hassan alayhi salam. So he moved with the caravan to Karbala. And Imam Al-Hassan alayhi salam, he had 4 kids in Karbala. 3 of them were martyred and 1 of them survived. And he was taken by his uncles to the city of Kufa and he was raised and he became one of the prominent influential scholars, Al-Hassan al-Muthanna. But the 3 of them were martyred in Karbala. 1 Abdullah the senior, the 2nd Abdullah the junior, who was the very last martyrs, the very last person to die in the land of Karbala with his uncle al-Hussein, and then al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan. Al-Qasim came to his uncle al-Hussein, he said to him, "Am, idhalli fil qital, give me permission to go and fight." Imam Hussein asks him, "Bunayya Qasim, kayf al-maut indak?" He puts him to test, he wants to test him. "What do you think about death? Are you afraid of death?" He answers, "Wallahi ya anfi nusratika ahla min al-asr." Death in your way, in your defense, in the defense of Islam, is sweeter than honey. I'm longing for death, I'm longing for shahada. As long as I am defending Islam, I am defending Imam Hussein, I'm not afraid. I'm enchanted by martyrdom. This is my goal. This is my final dream. This is my ultimate goal in life. في نصرتك يا عم أحلى من العصر. So Imam Hussein finds him ready for this big sacrifice. Look at the hearts of the companions of Imam Hussein. None of them was afraid of death. None of them. They were longing, they were smiling. You know, on the eve of Ashura, many of the companions of Imam Hussein were laughing and smiling. Someone turns to them, he says, this is not the time for a smile. They say, no, because we know in a few hours we're going to be engaged in combat and we're going to embrace Al-Hur Al-Ain in paradise. This is the right time for a smile. This is the right time for joy and happiness. This is how Imam Hussein raised his companions and family members. So he comes for permission. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was reluctant. So reluctant to allow him to go for martyrdom. When he kept insisting, kissing the feet of his uncle Hussein, Imam Hussein turned to his sister Zainab. He said to her, "Itini bi'amamati akhi al-Hasan alayhi salam." Bring me the turban of my beloved brother Hassan. وضع العمامة على رأس القاسم. He asked Qasim to wear that turban. Then Imam Hussein embraced him, embraced Qasim. He kept kissing him, smelling him. And then Imam Hussein gave him permission to go to fight. He took a sword in his hand, only a boy of 13 or 14. نزل إلى ساحة المعركة. He went to the battlefield. إن تنكروني فأنا نجل الحسن. إن تنكروني فأنا نجل الحسن. صدق النبي المصطفى والمرتهن. سبط النبي المصطفى والمؤتمن. هذا الحسين كالأسير المرتهن بين أناس لا سقوا صوب المجن. If you don't recognize me, I introduce myself. I am the son of Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. I'm proud today to defend the camp of Islam, to stand next to my uncle Hussein. I would not give up until I give my last drop of blood in my body to defend Islam and the truth and justice. He was fighting courageously. While he was fighting, his sandals snapped. In the middle of the fight, he bent down to make it up. While he was bending, one of the criminals by the name of Amr ibn Nafil al-Asdi assaulted him and he dealt him a blow on his head. وقع الغلام على وجهه إلى الأرض. القاسم عليه السلام fell face down. من جلت الغبر إلا وهو والغلام يفحص برجليه ويديه وهو ينادي عماه عليك مني السلام. He started crying and shouting, "Am, oh, Am Hussein, my uncle Hussein, this is my last greeting and my last salam to you. I need your help at this moment." من جلت الغبر إلا والحسين قائم على رأسه وهو يقول له يعز على عمك أن تدعوه فلا يجيبك. It is too hard for your uncle Hussein that you call upon him and he is helpless. And when he came to your aid, he could not do anything to save your life. بني خصمهم عم جدك وأبوك يوم القيامة. Soon you're going to stand before Allah and you're going to find those murderers are also standing before Allah in the final tribunal on the day of judgment. Imam Hussein then bends down and he carries the body of Al-Qasim. Al-Qasim was a small boy, but the historians say Al-Hussein, when he was carrying him, he could not straighten his back. Because Imam Hussein Imam Hussein could not straighten his back because of this tragedy. Imam brought the body of Al-Qasim. He puts him in a makeshift mortuary next to the women's tent. His mother Ramla was standing there, but she was too embarrassed to approach her son. When Al-Hussein left the tent, the mother came running towards her son. مبارك بين سبعين بفجابوك على راسك النف على راسك ملبسنا بالنفروك. Every mother has an inspiration. At the time of her death, her son comes and carries her body, carries her coffin, comes to her aid, walks in her procession, in her janazah, puts her body in the grave. The Ramla, the mother of Qasim, this is what she's saying to her son. Ya ba, ya ba. ردت نعشي على متونك تشيله أنا ردت نعشي على متونك تشيله وتراب القبر بيدك تهيله أنا الوالدة وانت ابنها والوالدة تطلب رباها.
نسألك اللهم وندعوك. Brothers and sisters, please raise your hand for dua for this short verse to bring healing and recovery for many, many people who are here in Dearborn area and elsewhere who asked us to pray for them with a broken heart and rolling tears in these nights, the night of Al-Qasim alayhi salam. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين ألبسهم جميعا ثوب الصحة والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.